First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, read, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Let's pray. Father, we pray for your strength. We pray for your wisdom as we come to your word this evening. We're amazed that we have your words written down in the scriptures, that we're able to see and to interact with your very thoughts. So tonight, as we read your word, as we seek to understand your truths, help us. We pray that you would illuminate our hearts. Help us to understand these truths by your word. Help us to see you more clearly, and help us to live in a way that's more pleasing to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the world of long distance running, as some of you here will know, there's this mindset of never giving up. You just never give up. And this mindset can be articulated in this way. If you're not running, you're walking. If you're not walking, you're crawling. And that's the mindset of never giving up, always moving towards the finish line, no matter what it takes. The key is to keep moving forward, to keep persevering. And so this idea of persevering is highlighted in long distance running, right? It's a simple goal, getting to the end of the finish line. But it comes up in anything we wish to accomplish. Anything that we wish to achieve, perseverance becomes a reality. To become a good musician, one must persevere through music practice. To become to graduate from school or university, you gotta persevere through that schoolwork. To get your salary at the end of the month or at the end of the week, you must persevere through your work. To advance in a career, you've got to persevere one step at a time through the ranks. Perseverance implies that this thing that we wish to achieve is hard, that it's grueling, but it's also ongoing and difficult. Perseverance speaks of overcoming a difficulty and never giving up. And perseverance speaks of finishing what was started. Finishing what was started. And so tonight, as we're continuing our study through the 1689, it takes us to this topic of the perseverance of the saints. The perseverance of the saints. And this is chapter 17 of our confession. Now, to help us work through this topic, I've broken up the time into three parts. We're going to first look at the question, perseverance, then the basis of perseverance, and then finally the practice of perseverance. So the question, the basis, and then finally the practice of perseverance. So, jumping straight into our first portion, the question of perseverance. Because the basic question is rather simple. Will the saints persevere? Last week, we were in the topic of good works, and we learned how God has ordained that good works be the path between our justification and our glorification. Good works is that path between the two. But the question we ask now is, will those who begin on that path, will they actually cross the finish line? Will those who begin finish? Or will they grow weary and give up? Or will they, somewhere along the line, will they take a wrong turn and never get back on the right path? Now, for many of us, our own experience, our own interactions, make us ask this question. Because many of us, even here tonight, many of us know personally of people who profess to be a follower of Christ, who were active in the church, and they were even not only active in the church, generally speaking, but they were even active doing awkward and difficult things. We think of being on the street and sharing the gospel in those awkward, difficult situations. And yet, those very same people, presently at the moment, they're denying Christ and they're living for themselves. And these situations are tragic. They break our hearts. And not only that, but the frequency of them, as we think of them in our own, the interactions that we know of, the frequency of them only add to the weight of that sorrow. Sadly, there's really nothing uncommon about that scenario. And so as we look at our experiences, it's only right to ask, will the saints persevere? But it's not only our own experience which begs this question, but also the facts of history. You look back at history, you read the history books, or you hear the accounts, and there's countless people who've professed Christ, and from what we know of them, from the history books, they show some seeming fruit of genuine repentance, of genuine following of Christ. But then at some point in their life, history tells us, they end up denying Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they end up finishing off their life doing their own thing, embracing a life of sinfulness and embracing a life where sin is what they're pursuing. We can, just as one example, we can think of the biblical example of Judas. He followed Christ. He served Christ. He left the comforts of his home. He left his job. He left his reputation all to follow Christ as one of the 12. He even performed miracles in the name of Christ. And yet, how did he finish? Well, we know the account well. He betrays Christ for silver. And the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus never repented of this denial of Christ. The account tells us that he continues to reject Christ as his Savior. And in fact, the account tells us that his guilt of betraying Christ drives him to taking his own life. So he didn't persevere. So our experience begs the questions with our interactions with the people we know. History begs the question. And added to that, as we read through Scripture, there's several biblical passages that also seem to be begging the question. One classic example of a Bible passage that forces us to ask this question is Hebrews 6, 4 to 6, which we've recently studied in the morning sermons. We've studied this text, and so you'll remember that this text forces us to ask the question: will the saints persevere? Let me read it for you. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm, and holding him up to contempt. And what about the words from our Lord as he finishes what we know as the Sermon on the Mount? What about this portion? When he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then this is Christ replying to them. He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, anyone reading either of these two passages are forced to ask, will the saints persevere? Now, the aim of our time here tonight is not to unpack these two verses and explain what they do and what they don't mean. Now, enough for now to say that, as we remind ourselves of that Hebrew passage, that as the author of the Hebrew was addressing, as he was writing that, he was addressing the visible church. He was addressing the visible church, which was made up of genuine and false Christians. And then the hint in the Matthew passage is that Jesus never knew them. It's not that he doesn't know them anymore. But the point I want to make, the point I want to make from these verses, is that these verses force us to ask the question, will the saints persevere? And if all we had before us was our experience, or the facts of history, or the record of history, and verses like these, like Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6, or Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, we may conclude in the negative. If that's all we had before us, we may answer that no, the saints do not persevere. But we praise God that this is not all that we have. It's not all that we have to base ourselves to find out what truth is and to answer this question. We have the whole Bible, right? And so we must let the whole Bible instruct us on these questions. You know, our experiences as we interact with people, we never account for all the facts. The record of history, well, we know well that they're full of holes. We don't know all the events. And we cannot, and this is really important, we cannot and we must not allow ourselves to form a doctrine, a system of truth, something we hold to be true, based on one or two verses, much less one or two verses that are obscure or hard to interpret. If we hope to answer such big questions, if we hope to answer such big questions honestly and faithfully, we must allow the clear passages to explain to us what the more obscure tell us. So we must let the whole Bible speak on this matter. But not only that, it's also helpful to get the help of those who have studied these things beforehand as well. To interpret in conversations with other godly saints as we seek to wrestle with these texts, to wrestle with these concepts. And so that's exactly what we do as we study through the 1689, wherein we're hearing how these godly saints have interacted with this question. So that's exactly what we're doing tonight. We're interacting with these godly saints of the past. And so this brings us to our second portion, the basis for perseverance. If you do have a copy of the confession, now's a great time to flick it open. And so we're looking at chapter 17. And so I just want to draw your attention to the second paragraph in chapter 17. And it begins like this. I just want to highlight that first sentence. It begins, "This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will." Perseverance of the saints does not depend upon their own free will. The basis or the foundation or the ultimate cause of perseverance is not the will of the individual. It does not depend ultimately on the self-control or the determination of the saint. So, what does it depend on? What does it depend on? It depends on the character and the work of the triune God. That's what it depends on. That's the basis for the perseverance, is the character and the work of the triune God. We've got to consider the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit in creating a saint. When we consider their work, then the perseverance of the saints is absolutely certain. Listen to how the confession puts it. You'll see those three, the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit highlighted in the confession. So, this perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the immutability, that's the unchanging nature, of the decree of election, flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, upon the efficacy, or that's the effectiveness, of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ and union with Him, the oath of God, the abiding of His Spirit, and the seed of God within them, and the nature of the covenant of grace, from all which arises also the certainty and infallibility thereof. So the confession highlights two works of the Father. Did you notice that? There was two works of the Father that got highlighted. The decree of election and His unchangeable love. So a saint is one whom the Father has decided to show a special saving love. And this decision to save a person is not on a whim. It's not out of nowhere. It's decreed. God has established a decree of election to save sinners and to make them into saints. And so this election is the beginning of His work. This is His work. This is the starting point. This is Him beginning a work. And the Bible, again and again, emphatically, this with the strongest language possible, tells us that God will finish what He started. What God has started, He will finish. With God, there's no unfinished projects. There's no books that are begun but never completed. There's no unfinished story as far as God is concerned. Now, one verse that really drives this home for us as we think about God completing his work, if God has started something, he will complete his work in salvation. If he started the work of salvation in a person, he will see it to completion, is Romans 8, 28 and 29. So let's turn there together. And we had the whole chapter read before, but let's turn there together. Romans 8, 28, 29, and it's a very famous verse. And I'm sure many of you have memorized it. Now, these few verses is often referred as the golden chain of salvation. And a chain really is a good picture, as one links into the other. And when we think about a chain, we really have to think about thinking about the chain that holds an anchor to a boat. We're not thinking about a chain necklace that is fragile or frail. We're thinking about a strong chain that's holding a huge ship to its anchor. So the links of the chain cannot be broken. And you can really see in Romans 8, 28, 29, we can see the confession echoing the language. We can see the echo as the confession is using that language to express itself. So let me read verses 28 to 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, that's those whom God predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So how do we know that those who have been justified will be glorified? How do we know that no one will fall off the path between justification and glorification? How do we know they will persevere? We know because God finishes what he starts. God doesn't have unfinished projects. But that's not all. That was the work of the Father. The work of the Son is also the basis for our perseverance. Again, the confession highlights two works of the Son. Two works of the Son's which are highlighted by the confession. His merit and his intercession. And the thing we really need to grasp is the work of Jesus on the cross was effective. It works towards its intended end. It achieved the purpose that it was intending to achieve. It has the power and is sure to succeed. His death on the cross does actually pay for your sins. And furthermore, his perfect life of obedience does actually grant you the righteousness needed for heaven. It's effective. So you, as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you have been justified by his effective merit. But not only that, the Son of God is also currently interceding on your behalf. He is taking what he's purchased on the cross and he's currently applying it to you on an ongoing basis through his work as a mediator, as the high priest. So his merit purchase our righteousness, and as he intercedes, he's applying that to our life as our high priest. Now, if you're still in Romans 8, look down to verse 33 and 34. And this really highlights both of those natures of what Christ has done, his merit and his intercession. Verse 33 says, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised." There's his effective work, his merit, his work. "Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." And there it is. Not only did he do the work, but he also intercedes on our behalf through that work. So, why will the saints persevere? Because of the effective merit and intercession of Christ. Now, it would be enough. It would be enough, right, to know that the work of the Father was the basis of our perseverance. But added to that, we have the work of the Son, which provides additional foundation. But in God's grace and his kindness and his mercy to us, we also have the work of the Holy Spirit, which completes that foundation for our perseverance. Now, the confession states that our perseverance depends upon the abiding of his Spirit. when a sinner is justified by God, he receives the Spirit of God, right? They happen at the same time. And in a manner beyond our understanding, the Spirit of God lives in us. Look up at verse 15 of Romans 8. We're still in Romans 8. Verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit himself, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And the Spirit serves as a seal, as that mark of ownership, or as a down payment or a deposit, if you like. The Spirit is that guarantee that God will see us through to the end. Remember Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, which is where we get this idea of the Holy Spirit as our seal. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So let's think back at our question. Will the saints persevere? And the biblical answer is an emphatic yes. Yes, the saints will persevere. Yes, because a saint is one whom God the Father has loved and elected. A saint is one whom God the Son has purchased and is interceding on their behalf. A saint is the one whom the Holy Spirit dwells inside and whom the Holy Spirit has stamped or guaranteed for glorification. So yes, yes, the saints will persevere. Now it's true there are some who appear to be saints on the outside. They have the appearance of a saint, but on the inside they are not a saint. They themselves may be self-deceived, which is why we have to continually be preaching the gospel. They themselves may be self-deceived. Or they may be deceiving others. They know they're not really a saint, but they're putting a good facade and they're deceiving others. And so when they do leave the faith, they show that they were never really part of the faith. R.C. Sproul summarized it this way. Talking of salvation, he said, "If you have it, you never lose it. If you lose it, you never had it." Or using biblical language, John 2 verse 19 says, "They went out from us." That's they left the faith. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us." So, the pretend saint will persevere, but the real saint, the pretend saint will not persevere. They will not persevere, but the real saint will persevere. And to make that statement, we let the character of God, we let the character of God and the work of God form the basis for that truth, that the saints will persevere. The saints will persevere. And yet, the saints are not passive in their perseverance. The saints aren't passive. They don't just sit back and enjoy the ride knowing that they're going to reach destination, like a train ride or sitting on the plane where you're in the plane now and you know you're going to reach there. We're not passive in our perseverance. And this brings us to our third and our final section, the practice of perseverance. Because we call it perseverance for a reason, right? It's called perseverance for a reason. We must persevere because the Christian life is difficult. It is grueling and it is ongoingly so. A life of holiness is hard. The life of fighting sin every single day is hard. The life of denying self is hard. The life of loving others, truly loving others, is hard. And so the Bible is honest about the need for perseverance. And the confession just echoes that or reiterates that honesty. Because we must keep in mind that the threefold enemy of the saint They also persevere. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the ongoing factors that we fight. And that fight is relentless. Paragraph 3 of the confession makes this statement. And though they, that's just talking of the saints, and though they may, through the temptation of Satan and of the world, the prevalence of corruption remaining in them, that's the indwelling sin of the flesh, or the flesh, and the neglect of their means of their preservation, fall into grievous sins, and for a time continue therein, whereby they incur God's displeasure and grieve his Holy Spirit. So we need to persevere. This is describing a saint who's stepping back and saying, oh, I'm pulling back and indulging and starting to practice those sins more. And so we need to persevere. We need to keep fighting and keep going. Satan, the world, and the flesh are as persistent as gravity. They relentlessly try and drag us down. And so like when we're riding a bike, we have to keep moving forward or we will fall. If we're not running, we're walking. If we're not walking, we're crawling. We must persevere to gain victory. Listen to how our Lord calls us to perseverance in the midst of difficulty, in the hardest difficulty. This is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. He says, this is describing the difficulty. Brother will deliver brother over to death. And father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 24 and verse 12 and 13, he says a similar thing. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. In John 18, 31, in a similar fashion, he says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. So our Lord tells us to endure. And we must abide in him. We must persevere. We must fight those sins and pursue holiness. We must put off those old tendencies and put on the new tendencies. We must be diligent to read, to pray, and to be in God's word. We must take repentance seriously. We must repent every time we sin. Actively and in an ongoing fashion. We must seek every opportunity to strengthen our faith, to remember Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must work hard for his purposes. In short, we must make use of the means of grace and persevere in them. No, we don't just try them out and dabble as a taster. We persevere in them. Because yes, there'll be those days when we feel like we're running. Our life of holiness, there we're running and we're feeling strong. And thanks to taking part in the means of grace, we have that spiritual energy to run. And sin and the devil are far behind us. But there are times when we may neglect those means of grace. And our spiritual energy then matches that. Our energy is lower. We've slowed down, as it were. We're walking now. We're walking. And the influence of Satan and the world are catching up. And if we continue to neglect the means of grace, if we continue to neglect the ways that Christ, that God intends for us to be strengthened, then there will be days, maybe even season, when we'll be crawling. Spiritual energy is very, very low then. Satan and the world seem right with us. Our flesh speaks loudly in our hearts. These seasons of neglecting the means of grace, they take their toll. They take their toll on our hearts. They take their toll on our body. They take their toll on our relationships. Listen to how the confession puts it. They come to have their graces and comforts impaired, have their hearts hardened and their consciences wounded, hurt and scandalize others, and bring temporal judgment upon themselves. Yet, they shall renew their repentance and be preserved through faith in Jesus Christ to the end. The consequences of sin are many. Consequences of sin, when we sin, there are many, many damaging consequences on our lives. And these can be life-changing. And so from the outside, a saint may even deny Christ and act like an unbeliever. A saint may even deny Christ. We think of the Apostle Peter. He denies Christ for a time. But a saint will continue to crawl. They will persevere. By God's grace, as the confession says, they shall renew their repentance and persevere to victory. To stop persevering in the means of grace has those devastating consequences on our lives. Therefore, we don't give up, right? We continue on. We stay on and we continue to be diligent. We endure through those hardships. We fight hard. We persevere in the means of grace that God has provided for us, knowing that these are the means that strengthen us and spur us on in the face of difficulty. In running, the finish line is the goal. For us, the goal is Jesus Christ. And that goal enables us to persevere through any hardship, to never give up, whether we're running, whether we're walking or crawling. The one whom God justifies, he will glorify. He will finish what he started. And the means that God himself has ordained for us to go from justification to glorification is for us to persevere. And so we must persevere. And because the basis of our perseverance is the character and the work of the triune God, we know, we have absolute confidence that the saints will see victory. And so we press on. We press on with all our might. We press on with all our might so that we can say, with the Apostle Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Let us pray. Father, as we think of this idea, this doctrine of perseverance, as we think about the long journey between our justification and glorification, as we think of all the difficulties, the pitfalls, the dangers, the snares, as we think about all the temptations, all the difficult circumstances, it is easy to be overwhelmed. It's easy to know our own weakness and to know our own frailty. And so we pray for your strength. We pray that you would help us to persevere. We pray that we would set our minds on Christ as the goal, the end of why we do these things. And we pray that we would continually remember that it's because of who you are and because of what you have done that we know we will cross that finish line. We know we will be glorified because of what you have started. Help us to not to lean on our own understanding, not to lean on our own strength, but to work hard in Christ, to lean into his work that he is doing in our lives. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.